Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's Impact on a Monday. We look at organizations, people who are making a difference. Really interesting. Some you may know, some you may not know, but these are people who are shifting the needle in our society and very quietly sometimes. I'm not sure this is quiet. Cool Dads, I'm not sure if it's a quiet organization. I think it's pretty well known, if I have to say so myself. Let me welcome into studio the founder, Bongani Lobalo. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you very much, Sasimilo. Good evening to you and the listeners of Kaya.
Before we talk about events to come, let's talk a little bit about Cool Dads, where the idea came from.
The idea, two, if not three things inspired Cool Dads. One would be my personal experience. I grew up without a father. My father impregnated a yellow bone and ran away back to KZN. And so I was raised by my mother, my grandmother, and aunts. So I've always been my mother's son, you know.
So that's an interesting way of framing it, because if you don't know what you don't know, do you still miss it?
You would. Depends on the experience. I would leave school on a Friday, come back on a Monday, and kids start talking about what they were doing over the weekend. I went to the stadium to watch Kaizer Chiefs versus Swallows. It was a spectacular. My dad was teaching me how to kick the ball, ride a bike, you know, this and that. And the only story you could tell was I was with my mother, helping to clean stupu. You know, you had to apply polish, go stupu, go clean the bathroom. And you start imagining, what is it that is wrong with me, you know, when many of the kids would talk about their dads, you know. But also the street where you grew up, it would be a rare case, actually, where when boys are fighting, you know, whether, you know, it's because of the games they are playing and you get into a fight and then somebody, you know, after being beaten up, you say, I'm going to tell my dad. It was such a foreign language, you know. So either you were going to tell your big brother or your uncle, you know. So you grow up with this, you know, mentality that says there's something that is missing. But the more you become mature, then you realize that it was not only me who grew up in that, you know, aspect of not having a father, you know, in the house, but you'd either have a granddad or an uncle or a big brother, you know. So you then start to say, actually, there are things I would have wanted to be taught by a father instead of my mother, you know. So that was my first experience. So the second one would be in a group of about 17, 19 peers, who most of them would be coming from Limpopo. They were in a boarding school, and now we are all past tertiary and we're starting to work, you know, boys being boys, you are being fascinated by cars, you know, groove. And some of them already had kids, because some of them either impregnated someone at 19 or 20, or others were starting their family at that particular time. And you'd find that we don't talk about those kids, you know, only when you can't come to the car wash. You're like, madam has asked me to babysit the kids, you know. I can't come to the soccer match because of, you know, I've got to babysit. And for me, it's inverted commas, babysit your child. You can't be babysitting your child, you know. And I then said to the Majita, why don't we have a Saturday where we can just all bring the kids? By the way, I didn't have a child at that time. And I said, let's all gather in a park. Let's bring kids. Let's play with them. Probably if we spend the entire day with those kids, their mothers will give you visas, so you'll be able to escape home. And we all go and party, you know, in one club or pub somewhere in Johannesburg. And really, so those were the two things that really made me to consider starting Cool Dads. And it started as a campaign. It was just a question of saying, why can't we be Cool Dads? You know, those who've got fathers, let's be better than them. Those who didn't have fathers, let's start a new perspective of, you know, what parenthood would look like. And only at the first picnic, we then realized that there are deeper issues than just, you know, having access to your child.
We are told, and I say we are told, I don't know, that you guys don't talk even amongst yourselves. Was it easy?
Men talk. It just takes time. Men need to feel safe. They need to be comfortable with the people that they are with. I'm not sure if you've taken notice in your shows, where at which point do men start calling in? Towards the end, it's more like the train is about to leave the station. If I don't jump in now,
always.
I'm going to be left behind, you know.
Always.
So it has got to do with us feeling comfortable. You know, I can trust the people that I'm with so that I can be vulnerable. This will not be used against me tomorrow. Mm. So it always takes that. And even if guys would drink, you'll start by saying, yeah, ne? Ish, life, you know, and like, ah, man, I'm expecting more from
and
you,
and stops
there. It becomes a full stop, yeah. You know, and then probably another beer or two more beers, and be like, yeah, ne, yeah, but life is a challenge, you know. It will take a line, even when they get comfortable in telling a story of what bothers them, it becomes such a short summary. You know, and amongst ourselves, either somebody's going to make a joke about it,
yes,
or somebody's going to nudge you out of it. Like, ah, man, let's forget about it.
Mm.
So we are in that environment where we do not feel 100% safe to be vulnerable.
Hmm. So what then was the objective? You've told me what inspired you. What did you want to achieve with this?
For our kids to experience fatherhood in a different perspective, I'll tell you, there are guys who grew up in a home that had a mother and a father, beautiful love, probably the black, bold and the bloodyful, you know, where you see your mother and your dad, you know, going to church on a Sunday, holding hands or not holding hands, but driving together or catching a taxi together, going to, you know, a Sunday service and coming back to enjoy lunch with you.
Mm.
So one guy says, my dad has always been there. But unfortunately, I do not know him saying I love you to me.
Mm.
I don't remember him asking me, how was your day? But I knew that he would provide. I knew that he was going to discipline me. So if I got out of the way, my mom's going to tell him and I'm going to get a belt, you know. So I've only understood fatherhood to be provision and discipline. But I would love to actually say to my sons, I love you. I would like to ask my sons, what made you happy today? What made you sad? You know, and I've got to find that spirit that says, I can tell my kids, or I can tell my son, or I can tell my daughter that I actually love you. I want to know what is troubling you, you know. So it's that burning sensation of, I would love to experience what I would have loved to experience with my dad. I didn't. So I've got to afford it to my kids.
Did this have a ripple effect? So that they had to deal with their own needs from their own past, their own childhood. Did they tell you, you know, how it impacted on their current relationships with their children, maybe with their partners? What was their feedback there?
Many of us don't know how to describe how we feel. We don't have the toolbox of describing emotions, you know, and it takes a lot. So you would see with action rather than us having to describe it. And only when you do, then you then reflect and say, I didn't get this. I didn't go. My dad didn't come and watch me play soccer on a Saturday. So I'm going to make sure that I'm there for my kids when they play any sports at school. I didn't see my dad, you know, teach me how to ride a bicycle or have the time on a Saturday morning to say, this is what, you know, the boys in the Luvalo clan do or don't do, you know. So I want to teach my kids principles and values about life, you know, and how I want them to grow in society. So you'll only see with our actions more than the things we would say, you know. And probably when somebody asks you, why are you so involved in your child's life? Many people will ask me, why are you so involved in your daughter's life? And I'm like, I know what it feels like to have an absent father. So I wouldn't want my daughter to experience that, you know. But because of the work and the journey that I've gone through, I'm able to describe how I feel. I'm able to describe what the absence of my father did to me, you know. But not many of us are able to identify those feelings and be able to reflect on them. So for me, at least I'm in a better space because I've got the ability to do that. But many of the guys would speak about those things at awkward moments, you know, but you'd see their actions. They'll say, this is the reason I'm doing this.
Sometimes there is a disconnect, isn't there? Where you know what you miss, you know what you want. And maybe for a minute, when you are with somebody you trust, as you said, you can maybe articulate it to a point. But very difficult to actually live and walk that whole journey. So, and sometimes it's many people who, in a private moment, once upon a time, will say, ah, yes, I do miss my father, or I wish I had one. But very quickly walks away from that idea and does not come back to living that truth?
Mm-hmm. It's because we are taught, everyone says, indoda ikhali.
Mm-hmm.
And the discourse of the 21st century, they say, indoda iven, indoda I provision, indoda must, you know. So we are seen as a symbol of strength.
Mm.
And we are always told, when girls are being taught how to raise a child or what is expected of them, should they get married or should they have a child, we are told that you should make sure that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why men would then pride themselves if my card is with Pamela. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And even when you ask me for my time, like, I don't
you
understand
do?
This woman. No. They leave money for home. There are those, of course, who would not be there,
yes.
you know, physically and
yes.
their wallets. But those who have an imagination of having a family, having kids, and carrying the responsibility, their responsibility starts with me providing for my family, you mm. know. Any other thing that is expected of me, then I would be like, what do you want from me? Because of I'm doing what I was taught to do, provide for this family,
mm-hmm.
you know. You've got no understanding of, you are needed to be emotionally connected, emotionally available, you know, be gracious, you know, have respect, because of those are not the things we're told we should do. We're told that you are a symbol of strength, and as and when life challenges you, you cannot show any weakness. So even at times when I'm being challenged by life, whether I'm not able to provide for my family, whether I'm not able to be there for my partner, or I'm not able to sexually fulfill my partner, I then cage back instead of having to express, to say, this is how I feel in my inabilities, because of I'm thinking the sooner I show weakness, then I'll be failing in what has been defined as a man in society.
Got you. I'm going to open the lines. 086
sure.
double, that was never the plan. 086 00 00959. Dada Selby, I see you. I'm going to pick you up in a short while.
Sure.
It's Impact on a Monday, and we have today Cool Dads Foundation founder, Bongani Luvalo, who really has been talking to us about, I mean, some deep stuff, Bongani. I didn't expect it to be that kind of a conversation, but nonetheless, we're here. And let me just quickly pick up a call from Dada Selby. Dada Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela and Bongani. How are you there?
I'm good. How are you, Dada Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
Amen.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You know, Pamela, for me, I've got there's something that I do not understand with boys.
Mm.
I've got three boys, and I had three boys and three girls.
Mm-hmm.
My boys, when they were young, when I said, I love you, my boy, they were responding, I love you, daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the age of 12 to 14, they started not to respond.
Mm.
They started to be shy when I say I love you.
Mm.
Up to now, we've canceled that thing.
A quick one, Dr. Selby. Did you have someone tell you they love you when you were growing up?
My father was telling me.
Mm.
My father was telling me, and I was responding. But it was something that comes very much seldom, because I was only seeing my father during school holidays.
Mm.
Mm. Yes. It was not something that happens every day.
Mm.
Only during school holidays, July and December.
Mm. Yes. Thank you, Dada Selby. So Bongani, I mean, sometimes I'm not sure, you know, what that's about. In your view, what happens in the interim? Why do you find that sometimes men drift away from their core?
In the context of what Ndete was saying,
mm-hmm.
And the boys no longer mm-hmm. saying, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's only boys. I think it's boys and girls, because at that age, they're starting to see themselves as cool.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter used to come to me unasked, unprovoked, give me a kiss on the chin, give me a kiss on the mouth, hug me.
Mm.
Started school, higher grade, higher primary school grades. It's no longer like, Kupa kiss, can I have a kiss? Like, you know, trying to think who's looking, you know, because they are thinking they might not be seen as cool,
yeah.
you know. But when we get home, she then comes back with, you know, her affection.
Mm.
And I'm like, but why am I getting these, you know, affection moments on ad hoc basis? And she would not answer me. Like, no, but that doesn't look, sometimes like, it doesn't look cool. you know. Mm-hmm. So I think they arrive at a point where they still want to tell you that they love you and probably even hug you and kiss you, but in certain spaces it's not a thing that they would want to do because they might be seen as uncool. Mm. It's that transition. And then they'll come back again where they find their comfort of having to, you know, want to hug you. Actually, at some point in time, you'll even be told that, don't leave me in this parking area. Go park a little bit further. If yes. the car is not cool or you don't dress appropriately, yes. if you come with slippers, yes. you know, and so like, you don't look cool. Yes. Please let's park there and leave me there. I'll walk myself. Mm. You know, because they're starting to be conscious of the environment and how they want to be perceived. So it's a psychological thing that, you know, in different phases of life, we either are comfortable with public affection and the absence of that affection, including relationships, you know. There is a time, I'm not sure whether it's a honeymoon phase or what, where we're still comfortable with either holding hands or you don't want to hold hands at the beginning of the relationship. Then somewhere you find yourself and you're now starting to be this person that wants to hold hands, wants to kiss your partner when you leave, you know, the table, going to the bathroom, like, I'm coming back, babes. Oh, then you go to the bathroom. But it's a question of how comfortable at that particular time you are. Then there are people who would not come back and reconnect with their feelings or their affection, and they'll never show it, whether in public or in private spaces. It's not for them, and they were told it's a sign of weakness or bazokujwayela and so on and so on. So don't even show your partner, don't show your kids, because your kids will now start riding on your head. So it's a question of in what school of, you know, thought you come from, what are those, you know, affection signs, you know, perceived as? Are they a sign of weakness? Are they a sign of strength? Or are they, you know, something that has got to do with always ensure that you tell the people that you love them, because you're still here? So it depends where you come from. Mm. Yeah.
So you've got this conference coming up on the 16th yes. of November. Do you talk about other things, other uncomfortable issues? You know, violence, how to navigate even the relationships that you spoke of earlier. Do you speak about those things too?
No, definitely. We always focus on different thematic issues. And also we're joined this year by Activate Leadership. They've got a campaign that they run, Generation Gender Equality, Generation G, where we're really trying to nudge young boys, young men, you know, to grow in the space of having to talk about their feelings, you know, but also understand the question of equality, you know, between male and females. And so in the conference, we're going to be focusing on about five thematic issues. One is men and the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in the men and the law, we're going to focus on two issues. One is going to be the question of customary law vis-a-vis civil, because these days we seem to be confused whether lobola is marriage or not, whether part payment of lobola still makes you, you know, married or not. Then the second part we're going to focus on the law is the question of consent, you know. What is consent, you know, outside of, you know, the hardcore that we know of sexual violation, where it has got to do with force and, that's, you know, penetration. But the comments that we pass, you know, advancing on you here at the workplace, telling you you're looking sexy in this
university.
Gym and so on. And you think those things are okay, you know, at university, because of society didn't teach us that actually you are, you know, infringing on somebody's right, you know, making them feel uncomfortable, making them question themselves, how they are structured or the things that they wear and so on. So we're going to be discussing at length consent and how that bothers, you know, sexual violence, you know, sexual abuse, whether verbally or physically and so on. So we're going to be breaking down
you
that.
Are going to save so many people jail time. You are going to save so many people, because not everybody has ill intentions.
Yeah.
But as you said, you know, the lines are so blurry.
Yeah.
There's so many cases, especially in tertiaries, you know, universities and all these institutions where people had a drink. These are close. And before you know it, someone says, no, I never said it's okay. And he's thinking, but it was okay.
Yeah.
Did we not think it was okay?
You were holding me. When I kissed you, you kissed
no,
me back. And
you pulled me to my room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that?
Sure.
And so, you know, because it's young people, sometimes we destroy people's lives and their futures because he just had no idea.
And I think that's why we've got to really go out robust on the question of what is consent, you know, whether we're in a relationship or not. Because at times as well, sometimes I think, no, because of me and you are in a relationship, I can do as I please, you know. So it's high time that we start elevating that conversation of where does violation start?
Yes.
You know, does it start with me being physical with you, or does it go with comments? If you've said no, or you've said, so we are now getting experts to come and break that down for us so that we can all have some light, you know, because somehow we either ignorant or we just thinking, man, what do we sing as, you know, if late election when a girl passes and you think it's such an okay thing to happen. But also we'll be talking about, so we're going to also have men and health. Mm-hmm. Men and health, we're going to be having a urologist, we're going to be having a gynecologist, we're going to be having a sexologist.
Mm.
So that we can discuss issues of men's health, whether it be cancer and beyond cancer. The question of if your partner is pregnant and you guys have got to journey together, you've got to understand what is morning sickness, what is this, what is a gynecology visits, and. So a gynecologist is going to break that down for us. But also, many of us, and men are broken down by two things: the inability to provide for their families or their partner, two, not being able to satisfy their partner sexually. So once a man, if you want to destabilize a man mentally, tell him that either he's got a small one.
So all I have to do is say,
yes, you know. Yes. That thing, even when the man was so confident about how he does it, he doubts himself at that moment to say, ish, you know. So that thing actually breaks men down. So we're going to have that conversation. And there's always that battle of how long does it take? And many men are like, no, it's about 1 hour, and they think they're heroes. And somebody else says, no, 5 minutes is actually sufficient, and so on. But also going to have a mental wellness conversation. So we're going to be having psychologists. We're going to talk about suicide. We're talking about anxiety, depression. As an African man, how do you identify that you're anxious, you're suffering from depression, you've got suicidal thoughts? But also as a man, you've got a partner that has attempted suicide. How do you deal with that? You've got kids that have attempted or have succeeded in committing suicide. How do you walk the journey back into being yourself, you know? And then we're going to talk about finances as well. You know, how do you plan for your family? Should you die, what's going to happen tomorrow? Would your family be able to access money from your bank account? Would they still be able to go to school wherever they were attending? So what is the cost of them accessing those things when you are dead? Are you preparing for that? You know, will your sister or your aunt not come and fight the mother of your kids or your wife and so on, and, you know, rob them of, you know, their them benefiting from your estate and so on? So we're going to be having a conversation. It's actually said, should you die, what happens? You know, just like that advent. So those are the five thematic issues that we are going to be focusing on for the third annual men's conference. And I think it is sufficient for one day for us to at least go through those. We'll not be able to exploit everything, but at least those should be, you know, putting us in a proper mind frame and be able to say we can, you know, walk or leap towards the next conference.
I'm lobbying for an agenda item.
Okay.
Violence. You know, South Africans are so violent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this idea that men are only violent to women.
Mm. Yes.
Men are violent
to each other.
Mm-hmm. Men are just violent. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we need to peel away the layers of where this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it comes from apartheid day being emasculated.
Mm-hmm.
People had to find ways to, you know, stand up for themselves, have an outlet, feel like a man again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very scary, the level of violence, even to themselves, mm-hmm, actually.
No, I totally agree with you, Asmelo. And it's something that many people, when they talk about GBV, they don't touch on, you know, gender-based violence between men and men, you know, as peers, as colleagues.
It's
And before we even arrive at, you know,
you have an argument, one takes out the gun. I mean, and sometimes it's what over a beer,
mm-hmm,
or over soccer. And tavern, I'm irritated, I want to show you I'm a bigger man. Doof, 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 it's over.
And I'd rather
kill myself afterwards.
Not even with hands. Some of us come from a society or communities where they say if two men are in disagreement, mabaphumele ngaphandle babethane, obethiwe must come back and say athi buti komnye, you know. So there's no place where you are taught which, no, actually an outlet here can be a conversation, you know. So we are going to be engaging on that as well, as part of the question of mental wellness, to say it's okay to go to therapy. You don't have to resort to violence, whether it be to your peers or to your partners or to your kids. There is a way of having to start a conversation, and that conversation can be in a safe room with a therapist, with a counselor, and so on and so on. And I think for us, the more conversations, you should see what happens in August.
Mm.
From the 1st of August to the last day of August, there's so many platforms for women to conversate. Despite the fact that today, if you can get a text now that hurts your feelings, you'll text your friend and say, "Kupa hutla, we need to talk," and you'll go past the garage, buy ice cream and wine, and you go, you know, women generally have got spaces for them to conversate. And we are also looking for more spaces, not on November only. Actually, by next week, midweek, the conversation would have shifted from, you know, the issue of mental health, yamadoda, or, you know, men suffering with cancer. We're going to get into 16 days of activism and talk about violence. You know, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm just simply saying the platforms are so short-lived for men to get outlets to conversate and to learn how to conversate. If you want your child to be a debater or a speaker, you've got to afford them a chance to start speaking, writing speeches, reading those speeches. Then the confidence comes. So we've got to try and create as many platforms beyond November where men can talk about different issues, and then we are going to have a better society where men then will start feeling safe to start those conversations and have them anywhere and everywhere.
How do people attend the conference?
We are going to be at Chimiston Civic Center at the Banquet Hall. The event is for free. So they only need to go to the website cooldadsfoundation.co.za and they just RSVP, they click under events and will receive their RSVP. They just show up. We're not going to charge you anything. So the event starts at 8 o'clock and we're going to finish at 5 o'clock. So it's a full day program. So any man and every man, actually we're encouraging men to come with a boy child. As long as your boy is at least 14, 15, they can come through so that we can then engage.
14, 15?
Yeah.
14, 15? I'm just thinking of what you're discussing.
No. The one that has got to do with sex and so on, they are going to be outside drinking their water and so on.
But all
of these other ones, they definitely need to be in the room. Definitely. No, we are quite sensitive of what is it that we can give as content to them and what we can give to them.
Sure. So you said they must just go to the website.
Cooldadsfoundation.co.za and also 072-087-5798.
Bongani, you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you very much.
And thank you to the listeners of Kaya.
Bongani is a founder of Cool Desk Foundation. Bongani Luvalo is going to be hosting his third edition of the Men's Conference. It's on the 16th of November. Just go to the website cooldadsfoundation.co.za, RSVP, and they'll see you there. That's it, folks. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.